Well, Father, I truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house once again. And we really did miss you, Father, sitting in your house, worshiping with you, and sitting at your table hearing your word. But we thank you, Father God, we're here tonight, and we are going to glean everything that you have for us. I thank you, Father, for each one that came out to sit in your presence. And Father God, those who couldn't, I'm asking you to bless them abundantly. And Father, those of us here who are sitting in these pews in flesh and blood, I want you to walk through here tonight, Father. Meet each and every need. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father God, those who are watching over the streaming, I ask you to do the very same thing in their homes. Meet their needs, Father. Give them revelation knowledge. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, guys, we're in for some rough riding. It's not going to get any better, according to God. And, you know, how close are you to the fire? I hope you ask yourself that each day, how close am I to the fire? Am I in the Father's will? Am I doing exactly what he wants me to do? Am I exactly where he wants me to be? Because if we're at the wrong place at the wrong time, we're going to miss God altogether. It's not what we want. It's what God desires for our lives. I wish I could say everything's hunky-dory. And everything's going to be just all happy, happy, happy. But that's not the way it's going to be. Until the United States of America gets itself straightened out and gets turned around, we're in for a little bit of a roller coaster ride. God wants to talk tonight about righteous judges. And we have too many unrighteous judges sitting in the house of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, when one of you has something against someone else in your group, he's talking to the church, why do you go to the judges in the law courts, you know, in the world? The way they think and live is wrong. So why do you let them decide who is right? Why don't you let God's holy people decide who is right? Don't you know that God's people will judge the world? So if you will judge the world, then surely you can judge small arguments like this. You know that in the future we will judge angels, so surely we can judge life's ordinary problems. In other words, if you can't sit down and help a brother or sister who's having a problem, then how are you going to judge the angels? All right? Zechariah chapter 3, verse 6. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. See what he says there. If you will walk in my ways, that's one prerequisite of being a judge. And if you will keep my command, that's number two, then you shall judge my house. See that? And likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. You're going to have to walk righteously if God is going to use you to judge the people in the house of God. God, this is God speaking. I have a people so refined, listen to what he says. I have a people so refined that they have my heart and my mind. These are my judges who are co-heirs and co-laborers of my son. Now listen to what God is saying. And is that you that he's speaking about? God went on to say, my son is coming to judge the earth and all the peoples with equity, and he has co-laborers in this too. In Psalms 98:9 says, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. God said, my people are not to judge from their own understanding or from their own hearts, which are deceitfully wicked. And for this reason I say in my word, judge not that you may not be judged. But I have a people so refined that their thoughts are my thoughts, their hearts are as my heart, and these are my judges. Are you one of those? In Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Then God says, "They will not pronounce judgment lest they have heard my heart and mind on the matter." When somebody calls you or sits and talks to you about a situation, you should not reply unless you are hearing God's voice, period. Doesn't matter what your eyes see. It doesn't matter what you think should be going on. If God's not talking, then you need to be quiet. God said, "They will not pronounce judgment unless they have heard my heart and mind on the matter. They will not call down consuming fire unless they have heard from me, the Father. Their hearts are filled with my compassion and with my love. But as with me, true holiness and righteousness encompasses judgment also. For one cannot exist without the other. For as I am holy, I am also judge. And as I am love, I also chastise." So what does he say you have to have? True holiness, righteousness, and what's the other thing? Love. Do you walk in all those attributes? This is so, so vital that you get this down in your spirit tonight. There's too many things going on in the world, in the church, in the flesh. And it's not "thus saith the Lord." It's what you think or what you think you see. But you don't know a person's heart. You don't know what's going on inside of them. And unless God's speaking to you, you just be quiet. Somebody might come up to you and say, "Well, you know, so-and-so has had marital problems." Well, that's not my concern unless God speaks to me about it. It's not, the only concern you should have about it is to be praying with them about it. Are you hearing here? Then I said, "We all know that we have stepped into a new era and God is doing a new thing. It is time the body listened to God's righteous judges. God said, 'I will send these first to my own house to bring much needed correction and to bring back true foundations.'" Why? So that I said, why? "So that the church I now build will be a church of my own heart and not a harlot church as many have become upon the earth." See that? He wants to bring back true foundations in the body of Christ. I know that you know the same thing that I know. There's too much backbiting in the body of Christ. There's too many pastors having their nose stuck in pastors' churches. You need to keep your nose in the church God gave you and make sure that church is running right, and God will take care of everything else around about you. They're not your concern. And there's too much of that. They sit around and have little gossip circles. What do you think's going on over there? Who cares what's going on there? Right now you're in trouble because you're talking and judging another church. You better be concerned about what's going on in your circle and your circle only. God says, "I will have a bride that truly represents me to the world and not as it is now. The church of today is a church of whoredoms after mammon and the teachings of Baal. Does my word not say you cannot serve me and mammon? These directly oppose me, Baal and the god of mammon, which is the present ruler of this world, the prince of darkness." Church, we have to become the church. We have to become the light. And I remember every day when I was standing here and God said, "If you don't live it, don't stand up here and teach it. Because you're teaching a lie." Are you listening here? And if you're judging, don't stand up here and teach about judging, because God's going to judge you for what you're doing. All right. I'm hearing God say there's too much pettiness in the body of Christ. Too many not looking at their own self, but looking at everything around about them. And you need to start looking inside and let God take care of what's going on around about. Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus speaking, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, God says, "My righteous judges are coming forth from their caves of hiddenness to root out and pluck out all that is not of me, but has become embedded in the foundations of the present-day Laodicean church. These are they that I will spew out, for they are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, and have gone a-whoring after other gods. My church is in idolatry, Now you can see why I have to send forth my righteous judges." If you read the Old Testament, the prophets went forth and told the people what they were doing, and they didn't mince words. Come on. But yet the body of Christ today does not want that done. They don't want to hear that they're in error. They wanted you to say, "Oh, you're okay," when you're not okay. You cannot be a yes man. You have to tell the truth. For it's the truth that's going to set people free. As long as you let them think what they're doing is just fine, they're going to continue to do what's just fine. And guess what? When they stand before God and God asks them why they did that, they're going to say, "Well, so-and-so told me I was all right." Well, so-and-so's not going to go to hell, are they? You are. See what I'm saying? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.'" That's what he did with the prophet Jeremiah. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I put my words in your mouth.'" If you're a prophet of God, then you don't speak unless God puts a word in your mouth. "See, I have this day set over you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." God will use your mouth as long as it's yielded to him and as long as he can trust you to do whatever he needs done in the body of Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 said, Jesus speaking, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, 'These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." Why is it you don't want God to tell you you're wrong? Whether to your face or through a prophet. Why is it that you don't want God to tell you you're wrong? What is going on inside of you that you don't want your true self revealed? I really want you to think about this, because you know what? God is getting ready to do this mighty move, and I don't want to see anybody standing along the shoreline, including me. Are you understanding? Each one of us have got to be checking ourselves every day. God gave me a vision last night, and it was of a river. And I was running along the riverbank, and the water was up to my ankles. And I said, "God, did I miss the river?" Remember, God said, "If you don't get in the river now," he said, "No." He said, "You need to run, because this is a river of wickedness that's going to be covering the land. And you need to stay out of that river." So God said there's a river of wickedness going to be covering the land, and we need to be watchful that we're not caught up in that river of wickedness. I think we have a wonderful Father who continually tells us of what's coming, what's going to be happening, or what is happening, so that we don't end up on the wrong end of the stick. Everyone in here tonight, I know that you know somebody that judges constantly. They're constantly talking about somebody judging. That's not of God. That really isn't. You know, if you see your brother in the fault, you should be praying for them, right? My motto is, I thank God that I'm not walking in their shoes. I don't want to be in the torment they're in. Are you listening here? And that should be your motto too. When you see somebody's all messed up, instead of putting them down and judging them, you should just say, God, I just thank you that I'm not walking in their shoes. I just thank you I'm not a drug addict. I just thank you I'm not a pervert. I just thank you, whatever it is. You know, just thank God that you're not there. And ask God to lift them up. How many of you are praying constantly that God does exactly what he prophesied he's going to do, is just in a wink of an eye, rip all that junk out of people? You know, even your own self, I say sickness, you know, God said he's going to bring the miracle of healing back. How many of you are just thanking God that he's touching you with that miracle of healing? You know, whatever it is that God's promised, we need to be the vessels of honor that God can use as mouthpieces to speak what he's speaking and to see his works come to pass. You know, people are messed up out there, are they not? And now we have pastors fighting among themselves and saying dumb things that cause confusion. I'm just hearing God say, where's all this wickedness coming from? And I'm hearing him say, from within. Why is it from within? It's because we are judging, you know. We're backbiting. Instead of being a hospital that heals, we're a hospital that kills. This is important. I'm hearing God say, it's vitally important that you get this tonight, because this is another thing that he's trying to get us cleaned up with so that he can use us as judges, righteous judges. Are you listening here? You can look at somebody and really not know who they are. Do you know that? Because they can smile. You put on a pretty face. And you'll think they're one thing. And then a couple days later, you thought, wow, was I ever deceived? Look what they really are. We've all run across people like that, right? My prayer is, and throw them in the ditch. My prayer is, God, open my spiritual eyes wider and my spiritual discernment greater, so I'm not deceived it in anything. Right? Because we know that the enemy's deceptive, and God told us a lot of deception was in the land. And do you think the enemy's not going to try to deceive you? You know, the body of Christ who's truly following God is the one the enemy's really trying to deceive. Because if he leaves you alone, his kingdom's in trouble. But if he can keep us backbiting and fighting one another, his kingdom is secure. Because we don't have our eyes on God. We have our eyes on people and situations. Are we understanding this tonight? That was me saying that because God's been dealing with me about that. He said, just don't you see how the enemy's working, keeping people, you know, fighting among themselves, torn up over what's going on in their own personal lives, and they don't hear my still small voice. They don't know really what I'm trying to say to them or do through them. And isn't that what happens? Come on. I'm just hearing God say, if you will seek my face diligently from this night forth, quit asking for things that you need and just seek my face diligently for what I want to do through you. I will take care of your needs is you work for me. You know, how many of you get dumb phone calls? Will you please pray and see what God's going to do for the rest of my life? Should I get married? Or I'm sorry, right now, I don't have time for that. I don't. We have too much we need to be hearing God's voice about. There's too much going on in the atmosphere. We are at war. If you want to know if you're supposed to get married, you sit before God and you ask him. Don't get me in a twist. And I know the rest of you are getting things like that, people calling you. And really, your mind should be on Christ right now, totally on Christ. And instead of little things, petty things, you know, we need to hear God's voice more now than ever. You know, don't you see what's going on? Prophets are fighting among themselves. Pastors are fighting among themselves. You know, one pastor told people, just go get a tattoo, but just make it look decent. Come on. This is junk. This is junk. We need to be learning how to be righteous judges. We need to be learning how to walk in the Spirit. We need to quit sticking our nose in everybody else's concerns. Just do what God's calling you for to do and do it well. All right? What does I, God, judge justly mean? The scriptures clearly represent God as a righteous judge who is always just and fair. We are supposed to be the same way. In Psalms 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne, Jesus claims. And in John 5:30, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Guys, you're talking to God all the time about your own personal problems, and he wants you to stop. He said, if you'll work for me, I'll take care of your problems. If you'll seek my face about what I want you to do in my kingdom, I'll take care of everything else. I'll guide your footsteps. I'll do what needs to be done. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that what he wants us to do? To get our eyes off of our own selves and get our eyes on God and what's really going on in the spirit realm. Now, I didn't tell you don't ask for prayer. I didn't say that. But don't ask me if you're going to get married. You know, there's too many other things. If it'd be me, if I was the answer, I would say, nope, you're not ready to get married yet. You're not mature enough. Come on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added to you. Matthew 7:12 says, so then, whatever you desire that others would do to and for you, even so do also to and for them, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Leviticus 19:33. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Let's stop there. One time I let a man stay at our house, and I couldn't quite figure him out, you know. And I said, God, what's going on with him? And he said, he's a sojourner in this land. Treat him like you'd want him to treat you. So I looked up what a sojourner was. I said, well, how about that? You know, he was just another me, just walking through the earth, trying to get things together. And if I didn't treat him right while he was in our home, he was going to go in more confusion and he wouldn't get it together. And so if I was living with somebody, I'd want them to treat me nice, right? And so I treated him nice. And then one day he said, I want to thank you for your hospitality. I know what I have to do now, and I'm going to leave. And he left, and he became a really nice guy. Got a job, got a home, and had a family. He turned out really nice. But God placed him in our home so I could treat him like I would want him to treat me. So how many of you do that? I'm not saying take people in your home. I mean, how many of you treat other people like you'd want them to treat you? Just think about how you might have treated him. You surely don't want that in return. Come on. We weren't always saved, right? Verse 35 says, you shall do no wrong in judgment in measures of length or weight or quantity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules and do them. I am the Lord. God is saying, treat them like you'd want to be treated. I don't see that in the body of Christ. I really don't. And I know I get on families because God deals with me with families. He said, if they aren't loving one another, then I don't want them. Because love begins in the home. Love begins with those that's close to you. If you can't love those, then you're surely not going to be able to love the world. All right? Deuteronomy 16, verse 18. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. And see, this is what bothers me. What does it say there? You shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. What really bothers me about ministers on TV, if you send me $1,000, you'll get your miracle. That's a bribe. I have never fallen for that, and I never will fall for that. God said everything is freely given. Now, if you want to just give somebody something, that's fine. But don't allow them to bribe you into giving it to them. You could give them all the money in the world, but if God wasn't getting ready to bless you at that point, you weren't going to be blessed. We have one minister now who says he was wrong, but he spent quite a few years doing wrong. Now, justice and only justice you shall follow. Why? That you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God has given you. Then God says, to my righteous judges, I say, arise and go forth, as I have much work for you to do. Listen to my spirit, and I will send you to those who will receive my truth and correction. I will send co-laborers unto you to be a strength and support to you in the tasks before you. So fear not my true flock. They will uphold your hands in this war against unrighteousness. I'm going to read that again. To my righteous judges, I say, arise and go forth, as I have much work for you to do. Listen to my spirit, and I will send you to those who will receive my truth and correction. I will send co-laborers unto you to be a strength and support to you in the task before you. So fear not, my true flock. They will uphold your hands in this war against unrighteousness. God said back there, I will send you to those who will receive my truth and correction. So I know in the body of Christ, we want to help everybody. And we go to people who do not want us to help them. And then they don't get help. And then who's blamed? You are. Or God is, right? So I'm sorry, you're not going to save every soul. And when God says, shake the dust off your feet, you have to do that. You can't do like I usually say, oh, God, just give me one more day. I know I can change them if you give me one more day. I didn't change them. They were never changed. You have to understand, some people are never going to change. They are who they are. They are what they want to be. And they're not going to change. I don't care what you do for them. Isn't that true? Haven't you met people like that? You bend over backward. You're so nice you can't hardly stand your own self. And still they don't change. All right. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men do not understand justice. See that? But those who seek the Lord understand it completely. I come to judge my house first, and then will send out my judges to judge. What has God been doing to the house of God? He's been judging the house for years and years. You know, I've heard the prophet say just recently, he's going to shake like he never shook the church before. And I don't know what churches he's going to shake. I mean, and he is going to shake, but he has been really shaken. And are we really going to change? If we haven't changed by now, do we really want to change? My constant question is, how can you sit in the house of God for 10 years and still do the same things you did 10 years ago? I mean, I'm not judging you, but that's just a question, and nobody's been able to answer that. I read last night that it's because you're really not saved and you really don't want God, that you're pretending like you want God. And that's why you keep going back into your old pigsty, I'll call it. Now, I don't know, that might not be the truth. That might be the truth to some people, but not all people. But I do wonder that. Look at the Israelite children, 40 years, 40 years. And they still were messed up. They still argued about crossing the Red Sea, didn't they? Come on. We're no different, you know. And what was wrong with the Israelite children? They wanted to go back into bondage. They wanted to go back into the leeks and the garlic. They were happy back there in bondage. Do you understand that that happens to a lot of people sitting in the house of God? They liked their bondage, and they don't want to get rid of it. That's not me. Well, you know, I'd check my own backyard if I was you. You'd be surprised what's in me, you know, you, if you really checked yourself out. Instead of saying, oh, no, I'm perfect. I would never do that. No siree, boy, I'm sold out. Well, sit down and check yourself and say, God, I want you to sit down there with me, Holy Spirit, you too, and I want you to show me exactly where I'm at or where I'm not at in my walk with God. You'd be surprised what you might find out about yourself. Wake up call. Right? Come on. Jesus said, God said, those walking upon the earth, polluting and defiling my creation with their greed and filth from the pit of hell, the day of my wrath is upon you, so hasten to listen to my righteous judges, O church. So God here is talking to the world. Those walking upon the earth, polluting and defiling my creation with their greed and filth from the pit of hell, the day of my wrath is upon you, so hasten to listen to my righteous judges, O church. And I said, God is calling the church to listen to his righteous judges. Are you a righteous judge? I want you to think about something and be honest with yourself. If Jesus was to step right in this room right now and he would start saying, he was calling out to righteous judges and he's saying you and you and you, would his finger be pointed at you? Saying that you were a righteous judge that he could use to judge the sin in the house of God? Or are you too busy judging others and neglecting the sins that's in your own self? This is what God is doing here tonight. He is seeking out righteous judges. He is seeking out those who truly want to be righteous so God can use you to judge the house of God. Too many in the house of God are being led astray by unrighteous judges. You know, when we first had to wear the mask, God said that the enemy's trying to bind up the church and close our mouth. And I'm reading where they want to just shut everybody up. Everything you say, you're going to go to jail for. Or you lose your job for it. God is not a man that he should lie. And how much longer are we going to let the enemy do this? How much longer are we going to allow the world dictate to the church what the church is supposed to be doing? If you can become a righteous judge, God would be able to talk through you and let people see that God is in control instead of the enemy. But as long as we sit in the house of God and we're not here, God saying, and we're naked and undone, he cannot do anything about the filth that's going on in the world. He needs us, church. He needs us as righteous judges. We won't just go out there and start nitpicking at every little thing. We won't go out there and talk about another church around the corner. We won't go home and call our mother and complain about our husband. You stuff like that. You see that? We won't do that. If you have a problem with your husband, you're the problem to begin with because you have the problem. There's something in you that's not right with God, or you wouldn't be having a problem. And that's the truth. Instead of you getting on the phone and calling somebody, you need to get before the Father and call Him and ask Him to reveal to you what is in you that's not right. Right? And I'm hearing God say, the day and the hour is coming, and now is, when I need righteous judges in my houses who will speak the truth with love and compassion. So if you want to be a righteous judge, if you want to be a person that God can trust from inside out, you can come to the altar tonight and God is going to touch you in a way that He will cleanse you from inside out.